Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
Hey, bub. Hey, bub. Hey, bub.
Hey, bub.
Hey, bub.
Hey, hey, bubbly, bub, bub.
Hey, bub, bubbly, bub, bub, bub.
Next, we got Pete. Pete, how you doing tonight?
Hello, Derek.
Pete, I was hoping I didn't take yours.
No. Steve, I know we try and do everything, but you know.
Oh, I could do 6-7.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. Steve is now in timeout.
For once, it's not me.
Yet. Guys, if you've not already, please like, subscribe, share. We got some fun shows coming up, including next week. We're going to be, and then in the following weeks, we're going back to the famous galaxy far, far away. So.
Goody.
Yeah, I know, Kate. There are moments that really I share good. It. So, yeah. So.
Really good.
Okay. But this week, we watched the highest grossing animated film of all time, which is Zootopia 2. Actually takes place a week after the original Zootopia. And it follows Judy and Nick on they basically are trying to prove themselves as partners, and they screw up because of course they do. Then they find evidence that there is a reptile in Zootopia, which are not allowed in Zootopia because there was a murder of a tortoise by a snake. Which, sure, but that is what caused them to then, that's why there are no reptiles within Zootopia. And Zootopia was celebrating its 100th anniversary, and it all centers around the different climate walls that they have and who is in charge. And there's a Lynx family that has gotten credit for it for all these years. To make a long, 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 long story short, the snake woman, there was a snake who was actually the one to create those walls, and the Lynx, essentially had her framed and stole her patent and it took over Snakeville. And they were trying to take over where the snakes are now, which is like swampy hollow, swamp hollow, fog hollow.
Well, the other reptiles, the snakes are actually like somewhere far away, I guess.
For the most part, there were a few in the
Marsh Market, I think they called it.
The swamp, whatever.
Yeah.
Sorry. But they end up proving that Nick and Judy knew what they were doing and that the snake was actually the good guy and that the Lynx is with a bad guy. But Nick, in the process of the story, set free a bunch of criminals. When he broke out of prison, including the lamb mayor from
Bellwether. Bellwether.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the main plot of the story. And it ends up that everyone, you know, gets happy and Nick and Judy are justified. And yes, snakes are and reptiles are now allowed back into Zootopia. So. Anything I forgot on that, guys?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. I mean, yeah, at one point they're kind of framed for attacking
the water buffalo chief, yeah,
Bogo, who is the commandant of the police station. So they're kind of framed to be against the rest of the ZPD, and so they're kind of on the lam.
Except she is locked up. But So, guys, what about this made a great team? What really worked within this movie? And Pete, I will start with you.
I did really enjoy this movie as a sequel. I think the original one left you in a place where you're like, okay, I can see more of the, you know, these characters. I want to see more of these characters. And I think one thing that they did do very well was develop the characters more and their relationship together. That, you know, you kind of got more of, you know, why are they friends? And, you know, at first it's like their opposites are kind of hurting their teamwork, but not really that much. But, you know, they go through some stressful situations, and by the end they kind of work through that kind of stuff and you know, figure out what it is that's holding them back and what's causing them to be to not get along. So I did like that part of the story a lot. I also liked that it wasn't too repetitive of the jokes from the first movie. They did bring a lot of the same characters back, but I thought they did a pretty good job of not. They introduced enough new characters that it wasn't like I was worried that it'd be like, oh, the sloths were funny in the first movie. Let's spend 30 minutes with the sloths. And they did bring the sloth back, but it was like a 1 minute joke. And, you know, I think that it worked for me. So I'll stop there and I'll let Steve go.
Nipples Maple Stick, probably my favorite character ever. I laughed so much at the things she was like saying. I mean, right now I can't think of them top of my head, but there's many times just cracked up. I felt like that was a great addition, even more than Gary the Snake. I think, like,
yeah,
if there's another movie, I want to see more of her. Totally hilarious, great character. So I'd say that would be mine.
Yeah.
It was no notes on her. Perfect, no notes.
Yeah, I think there were parts of this that worked. I think to me, what worked the most was Gary the Snake, just because he was new in something completely different that wasn't in one. There were times where it's one of those, oh, we're doing the fact that it's a bunny and a fox again. That's what the part to me that got old is that it's one of those, it's a bunny and a fox and they don't make good partners and they're all so small. Right. Yes, we get it. We got that in the first one. Sure. Cool. I will say I did love some of the movie references that were in this. The two that caught me is the Silence of the Lambs reference with the mayor, especially when she literally comes up and says jump scare.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then as they're going through the restaurant, the fact that there is a mouse controlling a lion that is cooking.
Yeah.
Just like in Ratatouille. That one also.
And then the other guy goes, I knew it. Yeah.
So that's what really worked. But Gary, that actor can do very, very little wrong, especially when it's a voice actor. Mm-hmm. But I mean, did you guys notice Michael J. Fox was in this?
I didn't. I heard he was, but I didn't catch where he was.
I didn't catch it either.
And I'll be perfectly honest. I don't remember. Sorry, guys. I don't remember exactly where, but it was a line along the lines of, I hate manure or something like that is what he said.
Oh, okay.
And so it was
Oh my that. God. He's Michael J. The Fox. Is
yeah,
what
he is. Uh-huh. Yeah. So that's what worked well for me for this movie. Kate, how about you?
Oh my gosh. Well, I just pulled up the cast list, which I had wanted to do, but I had downloaded this to watch on the plane and I hadn't looked at the cast list. First of all, this cast is fire. This cast is so good. But I have to agree with Steve that the Nibbles Maple Stick, I had so many quotes that made me belly laugh out loud in the airport where I was sitting.
Who did her voice?
Her name is Fortune.
Yes.
Yeah.
Feimster.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's very funny in other things too.
I literally wrote down it takes two to tango, but threesome to be some. Like, and then it was.
And while I take a threesome to be some, takes four to knock down your door.
I just like, or when she was like sipping pina koalas, except you can't trust koalas because they have four thumbs. Like, just, oh my God. I had to like, it takes a lot for me to like out loud laugh at an animated movie. Certain animated movies, and I was not expecting to out loud laugh at this. I will also say, and I know I'm going to be the lone wolf on this, but I did not see the plot twist coming because they did it the first time. So I was like, surely they're not going to
get Hans vibes from Frozen from him from the beginning.
No, I didn't see that at all.
So I have to say, I was telling Kate separately from our thread, the minute I met that character, I said, oh, that's the bad guy.
Yeah.
I will admit, as the story went on, I thought, oh, maybe he's not the bad guy. But like, it didn't surprise me when it turned out he was the bad guy.
No, I
spoiler alert to everybody out there.
Into the bad guy. I thought that they were going to be right about the snakes and that the snake was actually lying, and it was the lore was all true, is how I thought it was going to happen. And what cracked me up is Judy goes, it's okay, we've been tricked before. And then she's like, oh, sorry, we've been tricked before. And then boom, it hits. And I'm sitting in the airport lounge and I go, and I know people around me started looking, but I was like, and that's when I started, because I knew Pete had seen it already. I wasn't sure if everybody else had seen it yet. And so I'm texting Pete and I was like, how did I not see this coming? Why did I not see this coming? But to me, that they caught me off guard. And that was well played. So I enjoyed this movie.
Okay. Yeah. But even like guessing that, I still, this is, it's like the first movie. It's very fun. We're getting some negatives and I will bring out a couple. My negatives are fairly minor, but I have two things I want to comment about. I liked that. And we saw different environments. As I said, it wasn't just a repeat of the first movie. Yeah, there's some moments that are, but it wasn't just the same movie again. So I did appreciate that for sure.
I do have one to add, since no one said it. I love the scene with the shrews. That also made me laugh. That was hilarious.
They're always good. Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, with kissy kiss it. Yeah.
I liked the zebras.
Zebras.
I loved the zebras.
Okay. Except actually, only one of them was a zebra.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. The other one was a horse painted to look like a zebra.
Painted to look like a zebra, yeah. Well, there's like just a lot of little things, because like they're in the therapy group, and like the honey badger, every time his partner looks at him, he attacks him. Yeah. And later they show them in the car.
And he does the same thing.
Or when what was the safe word was like coconut.
Right. Yes, coconut was a safe word.
Oh my God. That would have made me laugh even harder if I had realized that one of the zebras, I was watching it because I couldn't get it to work on my iPad. So I was watching it on my phone. That went right over my head. But God, it's little things like that. I don't remember a lot of little things like that in the first movie. I remember laughing out loud at the sloths part, and there were like a couple parts, but I don't remember things like that from the first movie.
I would say there probably wasn't quite as many, but there were some for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. So, okay. So if that's what made a great team, what on this should have been denied the anti-venom? What did not work for this movie? Steve, I'll let you go first.
Like Pete, I don't have a lot. I mean, I felt like if anything, the plot was sort of predictable, knowing where it would go, but also I'm watching a movie geared towards children. So, I'd say that I was hoping more. I liked Gary the Snake, but I think I was hoping more from that character. And maybe it got overshadowed by Nibbles, because Nibbles was just a standout for me. I think that was the thing. I was expecting a lot more, especially because in Disneyland, they were pushing Gary the Snake like Sipper. So it was a big sort of push. I was expecting a lot more going in, and it wasn't there as much. He's still enjoyable, I guess. Yeah.
And I think part of that may be the fact that he didn't show up until over an hour into the movie.
Yeah, and he's very much he's the straight man of the group, pretty much. I mean, he wasn't as funny as everybody else was,
and the sympathetic character,
right?
Yeah. For me, this movie was just, and this is my common complaint, this movie was too long. This movie, until we have Gary truly involved, was slow as heck. I was multiple times looking at it going, what do you mean I'm only 20 minutes into this movie? What do you mean?
Notice that.
What do you mean there's no plot that's truly happened yet? Because until we figure out that the snakes need to come back, and that's really what's going to justify everything, and that's the last 30 minutes of the movie. Yes, we understand that Nick and Judy didn't need to be on the run for 45 minutes before, especially for a movie for kids. There's a reason most of the...
You suddenly turned into Donald Duck with your audio, Derek.
Yeah, your audio went weird.
That was really good timing. Why don't...
Okay, can you hear me now?
There it is.
Yeah, okay,
now
For me, as I don't know what you heard, but there's a reason that most Disney movies were between 75 and 85 minutes. Yeah. And this one was an hour and 50 minutes. So to me, it was 110 minutes was way too long on this.
But I will tell you, it's more common now for Disney movies to approach.
I understand it's more common now. This one didn't need to be. This one was, what, 20 minutes longer than the original, I think?
I think the original was like 135 or something like that.
Yeah. So this was like 153 or 155. So this was 20 minutes longer. That did not need to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Kate?
I agree with Derek. It was a little long. And there was one thing that like kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And then I was like, Kate, stop taking yourself too seriously. This is a kid's movie. It's supposed to be funny. But I'll say it just for sake of argument. I can hear myself about to say it, and I'm like, Kate, calm down. This isn't that serious. But it made me a little bit sad how they portrayed therapy, because, like, I am a big advocate for therapy, and, like, I think therapy, everyone can use it, because we've all got a little crazy to deal with. And so it kind of made me a little sad that, like, they portrayed therapy as this, like, you're getting, like, judged and manipulated, and just the way they portrayed therapy, I was like, no, don't give it already more of a bad rep than it already has. Everybody can use it. It'll make you better. So that was just one like little thing that I was like, okay, but Kate, it's a kid's movie. Calm down. yeah. Other than that, I just felt like it also was just, I think there were two times that I was like, okay, let's keep going. But then it's true. As soon as the snake entered, and he was like, no, we don't hurt anyone. I was like, oh, give me more of him. I want more of him. And of course, and I don't know how to say, is it Kwee
Kwan? Yeah.
Of course he played the snake, because anything he touches melts your heart. And like every character he plays, you fall in love with him in the sweetest, most like innocent way. And so of course he played the snake. Of course he did. It's just, yeah, I just felt like it was a tiny bit long, but that's me.
Mm-hmm. So I have two things I want to comment on, both, I guess, plot related. One, they did the thing at the beginning that really annoys me when they do it in movies. And the best example of this is they did it in Incredibles 2, is that you spend the whole spend the whole first movie proving yourself. And then because you want to give the character something to do, you reset it again at the beginning of the movie to have it so, oh, nobody believes in these people anymore, you know? And so it's basically like we've just, like, we're ignoring all the good they did in the first movie. And, you know, I know they tried to tweak it a little bit with it being them saying, oh, you aren't good partners or whatever. But I don't like it when a movie does that. It's like, give me a different reason. Like they could have not done that and had them go on the stakeout to the gala, and
it been then perfectly
then they
fine
fi- then they think that they're on then they think they're helping the snake, and like then they're on the opposite side with the rest of the cops. They could have still done that without going through the, you know, oh, you're incompetent again.
That saved you your first 20 minutes of the movie,
and it right, yeah.
That's a really good point.
So that annoyed me on second viewing, especially. And then the other thing, one of the strengths of the first movie is that it really, to me, had something to say about racism, and in a way that didn't hit you over the head with it, but was still saying something important. And this movie, I felt like, tried to do with that kind of with the Lynxes, like they were trying to do it again, but it didn't work as well this time. I think they were like, I guess gentrification and, you know, the relocation of minorities or something like that. I don't really know exactly what
I took it. That was the message they were trying to say more than racism this time, was the pushing out of people.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they were trying to do, but I thought they did it in a more subtle way in the first movie, that like, it wasn't clear that they were trying to comment on humanity in it. Whereas this one, it was more like a little more over your head with like, look, they're pushing out the minority.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So I there were some things in this movie that they did better in the first movie, I guess is what I'm saying. But I still enjoyed this movie a lot.
So, okay. We have been known for the most part, not appreciating movie sequels. Okay. Does this movie make you restore your faith in sequels to originals? And Kate, I'll start with you on this one.
I'm going to say, yeah. Like I said, I really enjoyed parts of this movie. I really enjoyed, it made me laugh a lot. I was not looking forward to watching this, because I didn't particularly enjoy the first one. I mean, it was fine, but it didn't like hit home. But this movie restored. I don't know if we need a third one, but.
It's
coming.
Awesome. But yes,
the highest grossing animated movie of all time.
Okay, but I have a question on that. Is that including inflation?
Yeah. No.
Okay. So like there may have been a
running over $1 billion.
Sure, but that's not accounting for we say like people went and saw The Lion King, and if we took it for what I know what I'm asking.
No, I know what you're asking too. It would probably not be number one with inflation. I think Snow White is actually still number one with inflation.
Yes.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, Snow White estimated somewhere between, with inflation, somewhere between $2 and $2.3 billion.
Wow.
Yeah. Now it had multiple releases for that too.
That's crazy. Yes,
but still.
Yeah.
So I don't think we need, I know we're getting one. I don't think we need a third one, but yeah, this did restore yes, it restored it with an asterisk of like, but did it? But yes, Pete, you go.
The important thing with sequels is to find like, what's the reason for the sequel? And sometimes it works that you can tell a story, and I think this is handy in that they're policemen, so they can give them another mystery. And, you know, cause it's, sequels are always tough because you want more of the same, but you don't want it to be the same. It's kind of the way it works. And so it's always a trick to do it in a way that you're not just repeating yourself, especially with animated movies, because you're trying to entertain kids and you're trying to. So, like, you know, and we just recently saw Moana 2, which was a really successful sequel financially. But I think from a story standpoint and from an entertainment standpoint, it was not that successful because it kind of gave me the same movie. And they're going to make a third one of those, too, because it also made over $1 billion. So I don't know. I mean, I still generally would rather see new original movies. You know, I just recently saw the trailer for Toy Story 5 and watched the trailer and I was like, well, that's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. But man, I really don't want a fifth Toy Story movie. So
I didn't want a third Toy Story movie. Right.
Agreed. I didn't want a third, fourth, or fifth. Agreed. Yeah,
I didn't love the third movie as much as many people did, but I thought it wrapped the arc.
The third could have ended it. It's the toys with hands.
And like the fourth. Yeah. So it's like, and like Finding Dory was a very good movie. I really don't need another Nemo movie at this point. It, you know, that told a good story, but I just don't see a third one as necessary or how it would really give us something fresh. So I don't know. So it kind of feels almost more like the exception to the rule, which is let's try to not do too many sequels. I mean, you can't help it because studios are about making money and sequels make the most money. the original Disney movies and some don't do as well. Even ones that are good sometimes don't do as well. So, you know, you get things like Inside Out 2 and then that does great. And then, you know, I mean,
God, Inside Out 2 was so good.
Right. It was a good movie, but it's still nice. It's nice to see like, but that does so much better than say Turning Red or Luca or a lot of these other ones that were still good movies, but just didn't catch the audience for whatever reason or were harder to market. Hoppers right now is out in theaters right now and it's doing pretty well.
What is Hoppers?
That's the new Pixar movie. The
Pixar one.
Yeah. It's not like our Avatar.
Nothing like Avatar.
And it's a lot of fun and it's doing well, but doing well is going to be, you know, $400 million or something like that. And then this comes along and makes $1.5 billion. So what's Disney going to do? They're going to make, you know, are they going to make Hoppers 2 or are they going to make Zootopia 3 or are they going to make more original things or are they going to make Zootopia 3? You know, it's kind of, I don't know. It's a hard balance. I'd like to see. The other funny thing is Walt Disney was very much against sequels, at least to the animated movies. And the first theatrical animated sequel we got from Disney was
not very good.
I'm trying to think what it was. Oh, Down Under, the Rescuers Down Under.
It was Rescuers Down Under.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, which did not do well in theaters. Sorry, Kate.
It's fine. I'll still love it anyway.
Yes. I'm with you, Kate.
Anyway, Steve, I talked quite a while.
I would say no. I'm happy with this sequel. I enjoyed it, but putting faith back in sequels, not necessarily. I would say it tried to do a good job of expanding the Zootopia universe, but it didn't really talk about the snakes. The snakes were part of it. I think they could have done so much more for really expanding the universe if we spent some time where the snakes were instead of seeing one snake and seeing them quickly at the end. And then, like you said, knowing that birds are probably coming next. So, and fish, I mean, there's potential there.
They eat fish, so.
Yeah, because fish are food.
Yeah. Yeah, we see them eat fish in the Marsh Market. So
yes,
because that's the other thing I was always thinking is what do these people eat? Because now if they can't eat other animals and they can't eat like yeah,
what are the predators eating? I mean,
what are the predators eating?
They eat the popsicles.
Yeah. Okay. And then when Judy ate that worm, I was like, can rabbits eat worms? Like they don't? Aren't they vegetarians? I always thought they were. Oh, and she has that microwave carrot that always looks so sad.
um, For me, this doesn't. I have very, very little faith, if any, in sequels.
Derek, do you have any sequels that you like that like would restore your faith in sequels?
Ghostbusters 4.
No, but Ghostbusters Afterlife I enjoyed.
Isn't that 4?
That's 3. Four was Frozen Empire.
Oh, you're not counting Ghostbustresses, the women one?
Oh no, that one I don't count. I don't count that one at all. There are a few. Toy Story 2 I enjoyed.
That's fair.
But there are very, very few sequels that I think even come close to measuring up to the original.
That's fair.
Mainly because, I mean, other than Jaws 4, I think that, no.
This time it's personal.
This time, yeah. I think sequels can work when it's something like Back to the Future where they continue telling a story. And it's not, it was designed as a sequel. I think the Star Wars movies, for the most part, tell a story well. Do I always like the story and how they tell the story? No. But there it is truly a sequel. It's not a revamp of the original.
Got it.
That's why I like, you know, Toy Story 2 tells a completely different story with the same characters. You have to come up with something unique, and this one did not.
That's fair.
Especially
because, and we're taking my experience out of it, but it had the exact same plot twist. Exactly the same. I did not see it coming because I did not.
And exactly the same plot twist as Frozen.
Yes.
Yes.
Which also, well, that's not true because I had that spoiled for me. But it also would have made me, but I had that spoiled for me. So,
but I feel with the
plot I did not see twist, it coming in Frozen. I will say that.
But this plot twist, I'd say they played it funny, though. When it got to that point, there was sort of a nudge, nudge, ha, ha, we did the same thing.
Just when she literally goes, oh, sorry, we've been tricked before. And then, boom, it just, gold.
Gold. Yeah. So, guys, any other thoughts on Zootopia 2?
There should be shorts for Nibbles Maple Stick.
Yes. Yes.
There will be.
Yes. Yes.
Because she's hilarious.
She is 70% of the reason why I'm going to give this the pixie dust rating that I'm going to give this.
I want to watch your podcast.
That should be the shorts.
What was the last original Disney animated studios movie?
Before this one?
Is this Moana or Frozen?
Oh, which original, one of those Frozen three was last?
What, like, what is the most recent original Disney animated movie?
Oh, it's more recent than that.
Okay, while you all are thinking of that, though.
Because Turning Red is Pixar, right?
Right.
When says the thing about a pina koala, but don't trust koalas because they've got four thumbs. I know because I talked about it on my podcast. It was titled, They Have Four Thumbs.
And then at the end scene where the koala gives it four thumbs up.
Right.
Yeah.
Gold. Gold.
That was Steve Irwin's boy.
Yeah. Oh, was that?
Robert?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Robert Irwin. So.
Oh, you're gonna love this. The last original, we're not gonna count Pixar, the last original Walt Disney Studios animation was Wish.
Oh. Oh, maybe they should stick to sequels.
Yikes.
And before that, Strange World, which was even worse.
Also not great.
So.
And before, okay. so then the last good one was Encanto.
Oh, that's a top tier. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a top tier one.
Yeah. And that was 5 years, 4.5 years ago.
This is terrible of me. Encanto the Magic House or Encanto the Dead Guy?
Encanto was the Magic House.
Okay.
Coco was the dead guy.
Coco. Okay.
Yeah.
Was Coco Pixar?
Coco was Pixar.
Okay.
Encanto was Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Well, yeah, I knew that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you think? All the songs that sound like Hamilton? Yeah, really?
Even Encanto, I had to watch it twice before I was like, okay, this is a pretty good. Like, I don't think my pixie dust rating is not good for it because of the first time I watched it. So.
Yeah, I will admit, I think that is, and I said it then, I think that's one that if I would go back and watch it, I think my pixie dust rating will go up. I just have not ever sat and watched it again, to be honest. So. Okay, but speaking of pixie dust ratings, as we always do, we give things a cups of pixie dust out of 5, 4, Zootopia, 2. Kate, do you guys want to know what you gave 1 first or not?
Yes.
Or do you want me to say what you gave 1?
What did I give 1?
You gave Zootopia 1 a 3.
I was going to give this a 3. I'm going to still give this a 3. Even though I think it's better than the first one, I'm still going to give it a 3. Pete?
I'm going to guess I gave the first one a
4.5.
I gave it 4.5? Okay, wow. I do love it. I'm giving this a 3.5. When I saw this in theaters, because this is the second time I've watched it, when I saw it in theaters, coming out of the theater, I would have given it a 4. But rewatching it, it dropped it a little bit. So I'm giving it a 3.5. Having seen it twice. So.
And then, what did I give it, Derek? The Zootopia 1?
You gave it a 3.5.
I have to give this a 3 then, because I like the first one more than this one. A 3.
Yeah, and I'm honestly going to go with my gut reaction that I had on this. I disliked the first 2/3 of it enough that it's a 2 for me. Because I give the original a 3. So this is definitely a point lower for me than the original was.
Wow.
Just
am I the only one who liked this better than the original? I need to give the original another try.
Better or as well as the original, yes, you are the only one.
Got it.
So, which kind of tracks.
I've seen the original like 20 times, though, because I have a daughter in animation who loves it. So, and as I said, that movie grew on me with repeated watching as well.
Like a fungus? Oh, wait, no.
No, that's like you, Derek.
Astrophage. Oh, wait, that's another bad movie.
That's Zootopia 5.
No, that's Project Hail Mary.
You know what? Hold on. One thing that I would like to see is a Zootopia where humans are the villain.
So it's Bambi.
Yeah.
I think
humans interact with it at all.
I think that's jumping the shark. Unless you find out like humans like come from another planet and
you realize that all of Zootopia has just been a giant pet store.
it's all been a fever dream of Judy's.
They're just in giant cages in a pet store.
No, Bob Newhart wakes up and goes, oh, no, huh? No, Gronk wakes up and goes, oh, my gosh.
So how about Zootopia 3 is a rom-com where Judy and Nick finally realize that they're in love with each other?
I thought we'd get that at the end of 2.
It was getting close.
I'm not even mad about it. Yeah.
It was awfully darn close. Now, originally, there was supposed to be some romantic tension between the Lynx kid and Judy.
Oh.
But that got taken out because that really would have been Frozen.
Did I read correctly that Macaulay Culkin played one of the Lynx?
Yes.
The Lynx kid. Yeah.
No, not the main one. The main one's Andy Samberg.
And then
he played the other.
Like, he played Pawberg, but Catrick was Macaulay Culkin. And Brenda Song, his wife, was Kitty Lynx.
They were the other two kids. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Who played the dad?
Oh, Kate's got it there. So
I do.
Yeah, I recognize the voice.
Do you mean the dad?
Like Mr. Lynx.
Dad Lynx.
Lynxley.
Oh, the dad Lynx. All right.
So
I'm looking. Pawbert, Kitty Ling. Oh, David
Strathairn.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I knew I recognized the voice. I just wasn't sure where. So, okay.
Idris Elba was in this, you guys.
Yeah, he's Bogo. He's the chief.
Is just, this cast is so good. Bob Iger was in it as Bob Iger.
Did anyone else actually want another song at the end? I mean, like a different song at the end? Like, guys understand what I'm saying?
It was a different song from the first movie.
No, but it was the same song as was in the middle.
Oh, yeah, that would have probably been better, but they did the same thing in the first movie. They had the song at the beginning and then it was the same song at the end.
Yeah, but from what I remember in the first movie, it's not actually on screen. It's just you listen to it.
She's listening to it on her earbuds.
Yeah. Where this one was actually on screen
on her eye carrot.
Back and basically did the same scene. So
okay. God, this cast is so good. I can't get over how good this cast is.
Well, you got to, because we got some Disney Plus news. So
we do.
Boom, boom.
We do.
What's going on?
Just two things. Number one, Daredevil season 2 will debut March 27th. I will be watching it. I don't know if anyone else on the platoon will be, but
Kate and I will be texting each other. Oh my God. Is it one episode?
Are you going to watch it?
Oh yeah, for sure. Is it one episode a week?
Do we know? I'm checking.
And then while he's checking that, Star Wars Maul Shadow Lord will be releasing 2 episodes per week over a 5-week stretch, with the finale coming out May 4th. And that's it for Disney Plus news.
Sorry. So it comes out the 24th. I don't know if I typed that in the news wrong or not. There's 8 episodes and it looks like it's 1 per week.
Yep. 1 per week.
Yeah. So, okay. Next week, we are actually going back to last year to something that Pete has really wanted to have us throw on the list for to watch. And it's something that we've liked the previous seasons, actually, at varying lengths. I know some of us have not necessarily liked the stuff, but there's enough of us that did like it that we're going to go ahead and watch season 3. It is the Star Wars Visions cartoons season 3. Season 1, and these are all standalone, non-sequel stories from the Star Wars universe. Season 1 was all anime. Season 2 was a very wide array of different animators and animation styles. And then Season 3 is going back to the anime. So, yeah. But these are all...
I haven't watched it yet, but I liked season 2 better because of the different styles. So it will be interesting.
And I remember really enjoying the stories from season 1.
Mm.
So
I've started only 2 episodes. They are quite different. So I think, Pete, you'll be happy. Okay. So there's quite a difference. So
how many episodes are there?
Oh, I think 8. Is that right, Derek?
I'm looking it up.
Are we watching all 8 for next week?
Yeah, because they're short.
Yeah, they vary from 30 minutes to one. One was 23, one was 15 minutes.
But we are watching all 8.
Yes, if possible. Yeah, okay, and we can get with you if there's certain ones you can't watch. So,
okay.
But yeah, they're all shorter. They're all less than half an hour. So combined, it's less than a Marvel movie. So, but guys, if you have suggestions of what you want us to watch, not much has been coming out and not much is going to be coming out for the foreseeable future. So if you have suggestions, please email us at plusplatoon@gmail.com. Send us a message on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, anywhere you find us, anywhere you can get a hold of us, please send us a message. We have new episodes coming out Thursdays on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Pete, and Steve, Gina, our producer in absentia, we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Plus Platoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.